For December the 19th, 2014, we talk about 80 Days, the title of the year, and your of the years of the year. Welcome to the 87th level. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm Dennis Furia.
I'm David Meismith.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Oh, guys, we are on the eve of Christmas and such coming up in the next week. Yeah, well, yes. That's already a thing, Cole. I choose my words very carefully, Ben. Don't criticize me. Oh, man. So, yeah, this will be the last one before the big holiday. I haven't done any Christmas shopping or anything, so I'm probably going to have to remedy that at some point.
Oh, yep. your guys's Christmas presents got in today, and I'm very excited.
Oh.
That's all I will say.
That's kind of scary.
Okay.
You guys are in for a treat.
All right.
Huh. I am going to require the use of Amazon Prime, so for my Christmas shopping.
Yeah, that's the way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we have some revelations, some announcements, some reveals to make today, don't we? Because
yeah,
as
we got everyone else a present.
Yes, we did. No, everybody got us a present. Okay, the present we gave the world was titles of shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
And what the world gave back was their vote of which of these presents do they like. Some of them they really like. Other ones, this is terrible. Why is this text on my screen?
they gave us feedback, the most valuable gift.
Feedback is useless. I don't mean that, of course. So we did that.
Unless
poll.
You're a hater.
Yeah, hater. Yeah, well, that is such just a useless label. sip it up on the haterade. Yes. So can we give the Miss Congeniality, the two they got literally no points?
Yeah.
Yeah. So last place is 15 Yoink.
Well, I guess they're tied for last place.
Yes.
Between the two of those.
Yeah.
What's the other one?
The other one, I expected this to get a little bit more love, was Popov's Dog.
Oh, I like Popov's
yeah.
Dog.
Yeah.
You should have voted for it.
Vote. That would have been my vote.
Oh, you should have voted.
Oh, sure. You all like it now.
Yeah. Now that you know it's unpopular.
We're what's wrong with America.
I'm going to vote for a
third
party.
Yeah, but not for that reason.
Yeah. Okay, so do you want to hear the top five?
Yeah, and do you want to explain how we rank these?
Yes. So, Dennis, why don't you explain? Because it was your idea to do this as a Likert scale.
Yeah, and unintentionally made it very hard to actually transfer into Excel, by which I mean requiring about 4 minutes of effort.
Right.
But so everyone who voted knows you were allowed to rank your five favorite episode out of, I think, like 42 or something like that. Mm-hmm. So first off, it's amazing that only two of those 42 episodes got zero votes. Everything else, at least one person thought belonged in the top five, which is incredible to my mind.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it's you know, based on your number of points at each rank. So one ranking is worth 5 points, a two ranking is worth four, three for three, four for... or two for four, or however goes.
Yeah.
You know, we probably did our math wrong. But Cole's like, I know I did my math right. I know, I can hear you thinking it.
You have access to the sheet. You can double check it.
This is true, but that would take more work. By which I mean another 25 seconds. But anyway, so they were assigned points that way. And then those points were totaled up.
Yeah.
So there's a term for this. It's called the board account method.
Hmm.
And math.
More like board account. Am I?
I just wanted to do kickflips off of my dad. Later, nerds. Thank you.
Wait, is it literally the board account?
Board account. So B-O-R-D-A and then count.
Hmm. Okay.
Wait, like an irate pig?
Maybe. I don't know.
So is there a mathematical advantage to doing it this way?
It's a more fair system. Or it allows more choice, at least.
Okay.
It should be what our voting system is.
Oh. Yeah.
Instead of popular vote.
That's actually that makes a certain degree of sense as opposed to making a binary. But continuing, so number five with 26 points, we have. Can I get a drum roll, please?
I'm out of here.
All right. Thermonuclear Clippy. Episode number 78. All right, number four.
Okay, do we want to do reactions or anything?
Oh, okay, go ahead.
This one, I think this is based off of Jala.
Yes, Jala did bring this into the parlance, I think.
Yep. Yeah. So she's on the board.
Interestingly enough, no rank one votes. This one was carried pretty much almost entirely by the mid-range.
Oh, wow. To be fair, no one likes Clippy, so that's entirely
Number four. Are you doing little drummer boy dance?
Yes, I am.
Okay, cool.
It's the season. It is my drum roll.
Number four, episode number 50, Alpaca Llama Furia.
Woohoo!
Yeah. Obviously, this is the placeholder name that Dennis and his lovely wife used for his the baby they didn't know the sex of.
Cool, change his name into when he's old enough to do so.
Yeah, just print this out on a sheet of gold leaf paper and seal it up in a mahogany box.
So were all of those votes Dennis just voting 1 through 5 all for Alpaca Llama Furia?
It was forced ranking. You couldn't do that.
Mm. Oh,
yeah. Number three. Well, this is a tie, you guys. Both with 33 points. So number three, 33. I thought this was noise from the other room, Dennis.
Oh, well. Drum roll.
Yeah. So this is a little bit of a tricky one. With 9 total votes, there is barely Legal Pad.
Woo-hoo.
Which was my favorite, my personal favorite.
I can't remember where it was in my top five, but it was in my top five.
Yeah, it's good.
I feel like that's something, that's the type of title I really would have expected to see from the pitch.
Mm. You're absolutely right, aren't you? Yeah.
We can do a crossover episode.
Yeah.
And by that, they could just use that name and then do an episode.
Teenage Dirtbags coming in 2015. but with more votes, but the same amount of points, so it's hard to say what these are, is number 3.2, Senpai Restrict My Beams.
You got to say with the right inflection.
Senpai Restrict My Beams.
There we go. It's hard to, like, we were discussing tiebreakers before, like, so Senpai Restrict My Beams got more votes, but Barely Legal Pad got higher quality votes. So their average rank was higher on Barely Legal Pad, but more people saw Senpai in the top five. It's too close to call, so I think it's right to split them.
Yeah.
Wait, so if we use this method for the U.S. elections, would that just mean that in this scenario, like, the Republicans and Democrats would have to share the presidency, like, sitcom style?
Oh, like the first couple of presidents and vice presidents in the country? where the loser became vice president?
Well, yeah, but in this case, there is no loser. We'd have to have two presidents.
Yeah. Everybody gets a trophy.
Right. I just want the losing candidate to get like a little medal that's like, you know, first runner up.
It's like a bowling trophy. moving along. Number two with 44 points. Hashtag Colo, think about it.
You're trending this year, Cole.
Yep. Yes. More than Gamergate. We have hashtag Colo. Of course. This one coming from the Dark Souls 2 stream that I did, in addition to my anger over, I believe, an iOS game called Sometimes You Die or something like that. Yeah. That was totally meant to make you think, don't games trivialize death, man?
Yeah. And although this one, I don't know if it got the artificial bump from the, I revived the Twitter account to campaign for it. So
okay.
I added a whole tweet out there to like maybe six people.
Okay.
I think four of which are on this show. So I'm sure that did a lot of good.
And finally, number one with 45 points squeaking out at her hashtag Golo think about it is Nobody Puts Baby in the Fridge.
All right.
Which
big winner
to me. Now, congratulations to Nobody Puts Baby in the Fridge. I think that you've earned.
Shit on it.
Hey, yo, baby. That's a really great all. I'm going to let you finish.
I think that this is the recency of the title that actually gave it a little bit of an edge.
More familiar.
Put an asterisk by it.
Yeah, because people heard it. More people probably heard it because of, you know, just the explosion in popularity of the show over the past year. I'm serious.
Yeah.
So it's subliminal marketing, man.
Yeah, I think that I want to throw an asterisk on that one. However, congratulations to everybody who chose it. If we went by who got the most just total rank one votes, like if this was just a straight up, it would actually be at Colo Think About It.
Oh.
Yeah. Huh.
But think about that.
Also, Nobody Puts Baby in the Fridge got more total votes, so womp.
Yeah.
This system's confusing. Why'd you invent it, Ben?
I didn't invent anything.
I hold you personally responsible.
You told me about it, so therefore.
This is not the Ben count method.
So were there any that you guys voted for that just weren't very high up the list, but that are like personal favorites of yours?
Well, as we've established, I can't vote, perhaps because I'm a convicted felon. But Popov's Dog is one of my favorites. I really like Barely Legal Pad, though, so that one actually did chart.
I'm surprised Volcano for Military Purposes didn't get more love.
Oh, I'm surprised it's as high as it was.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It just doesn't have a ring to it. In my opinion, it doesn't have a ring to it.
Oh.
Clearly, other people thought differently. So.
I prefer the longer titles. I also voted for Prisoners on Fire off the Shoulder of Orion.
Yeah, that one had a high. Two people liked it the best. The one I really like, and I don't know why, but it's Slide the Slide, Pump the Pump. Mm-hmm. Just got a ring to it. But it seems, polarizing among people who liked it. There are two people who that was their absolute favorite, mm-hmm. and two people who that barely squeaked in fifth place.
Yeah.
Nothing in the middle. So it's hard to say it's polarizing when everyone who, you know, voted for it put it in the top five.
Yeah. But, well, if you're looking at what is the most popular fifth ranked choice, it is definitely Tell Me About the Chicken, Sherida.
Yeah.
Chickens were awesome.
Ben, how about you? They were. Ben, how about you? Did you have any Dark Horse favorites?
So thinking of my favorite titles in general, General Puzzles and Blue Car on Fire Syndrome are my favorites, those are from
previous years. We have to do some kind of legacy league.
General Puzzles is definitely the title we've gotten the most mileage out of.
Yeah, General Puzzles, I think, is the closest we have to a mascot.
Yes, I do believe in General Puzzles.
General Puzzles wants you. But any from this year that you are particularly enamored of?
I would ask me in a year, and then I will have a better idea.
Okay.
It's too close right now.
Yeah, a little bit too fresh and raw. So this is possibly the most masturbatory segment we've ever done on the show. But thank you, everybody, for not looking back at the content of the past year, but rather at the surface level cover details that we put on.
Mm-hmm. Although I've heard you say on multiple occasions, Cole, that you were very proud of those titles. I completely agree. It's fun to go back and read through them anytime you just want to smile a little bit. So
yeah, I also did a backer blog about it for the Patreon backers.
Oh yeah, yeah.
With the titles and such. And when I sent out the postcards, the level, the General Puzzles postcards, I also, for each person, I drew little like pictures of what each of them like represented on the back. So, you know, just like a little scene, like a little comic panel.
Nice.
Yeah. So thank you everybody for voting on that. Toady for 2014 has come to a close, and we will resume looking at the toadies and gathering it up and trying to blow these away in the next year. Does that sound good to you guys?
Well, there's kind of going to be a couple lost titles because last week's wasn't put in this year. And this week's I think won't be. So where do those two go? Like, do they go in the running for next year?
I think that frees us up to just put in a couple of stinkers.
Yeah. Level 87.
Let's nothing make the worst level title. TBD. Yeah.
Level 87. ASD. Yeah. ASDF. ASDF. Which might actually be the title for this.
Oh no, I just thought of the worst possible title.
Oh no.
Level 87, stand under the don't tree and riddle me this.
I like that title.
I did.
That's good. That's good.
Oh man, so keeping in the spirit of the end of the year festivities and such, we are going to skip the brief because nothing at all is happening.
Because nothing could top that.
Nothing could top that. That is the hippest and most recent. That is what is on the lips of everybody who is looking at the most recent happenings in news vis-a-vis the things that are going around us in video games. And we're going to jump right to the multiplayer where we are taking your blanks of the year.
Multiplayer.
It is now time for the multiplayer section where we ask you stuff. Dennis, what did we ask them this year?
I asked for their senior superlatives of gaming or whatever else they want.
Yeah.
In effect. So it's just, you know, we did a title of the year. Lots of people are doing game of the year, I'm sure. So just blank of the year or, you know, most XY of the year or you know, that sort of thing. But related to video games or not was left on the table. And we got a couple of very good not ones as well as video game related ones. So we can jump right in.
Yeah. So I'll take us in with the first one. Glenn asks, is Broken Upon Release too negative of a category? I'd suggest that,
not
then.
As long as I'm here.
Because that was a common thing that happened this year.
Although AC Unity is like a shoo-in for this, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Like, that's what's on everybody's lips, as it were. You know, just because
which
it is,
unfortunately are on their face.
Right. Thank you. Alley-oop. Set them up, knock them down. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So games that were broken on release this year. I don't know.
So I'm trying to think of games that were just like bad.
Yeah.
That could be considered like broken.
I feel like, thankfully, I avoided most of these titles like ahead of time by seeing the brokenness, but I would guess Assassin's Creed just from reviews, that or Watch Dogs.
Yeah, like Watch Dogs came out hobbled, like especially on PC, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, like Watch Dogs kind of like fell in, oh, this is a launch title on the new consoles, but like on PC, they explicitly disabled features that would make it look better than the consoles. So I would actually call that like a huge bummer.
So not in quantity of brokenness, but in quality of brokenness. Didn't the new Super Smash Bros. Have like a glitch that would brick your console?
I did not hear about this.
No, I think that was there was a software update that would brick the console.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was the game, but it obviously didn't happen all the time, but.
David being the resident software engineer here, shouldn't you not do that with updates?
Fact. You should not do that with updates.
Damn it.
Fact,
I knew I was
done that to computers before.
I knew I was doing something wrong. Thank you so much, David.
Oh, I
it's so easy now. Yeah.
I had a heart attack earlier in the week. Sorry, completely tangenting. I was just on my Mac playing some Hearthstone like you do. Plugged in my new iPhone and it just snapped to black, like hard shut down and would not turn back on. So I was like, what
the
did
iPhone
I do?
Or the Mac.
The Mac. The iPhone was fine. And so I wound up taking it into the Genius Bar and they said, oh, if you're using a third party charging cable, sometimes it doesn't regulate the power right. The Mac thinks that it's a power surge and shuts down.
Hmm.
It's not dangerous to anything, but it does mean that you have to basically bring it in here to turn it back on. But for, you know, for basically half a day, I was like, I just have lost everything that I have on the computer.
You don't have a backup?
It automatically backs up. I have no idea the last time. I've got that, you know, you can like click the button and be like restore to like a week ago.
Like you have Like, do you have a time machine? This is very important, Dennis. this whole episode, you just opened up a can of shit because, like, if you don't have proper backup hygiene, like, we got to get that right, dog.
For your stress level as much as for mine. Yeah. No, it's where is that? I know I have a time machine. I can't find it in the Windows.
It's a hard drive that sits on your desk.
We just need to introduce you all to GitHub.
No, isn't there, like, there's an option from the menu that's like, you know, revert to a week ago or 2 weeks
That is still on the same hard drive, which is very fallible.
Oh, I just assumed it was in the cloud. No, isn't everything in the cloud?
No, it's not in the cloud.
Oh.
Yeah.
Only the good stuff's in the cloud. And then it's in North Korea.
Okay, let's.
I can hear Cole getting gray hairs right now.
So I can go get a hard drive, but literally, I think the Furies are cursed. My wife has crashed 3 hard drives, not all computers, more, all hard
more,
drives.
All the more reason to have like a fuckload of them.
Also, you might consider RAID at that point.
Yeah. Get up on that Drobo piece, man, or at least Backblaze. Come on, like I'm seriously not being paid to recommend that, but like,
no, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
This week, if nothing else, highlighted to me how necessary that is. So.
Oh God, that could have been so heartbreaking. Wow. Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Cool.
So that would have been most broken on release.
So as long as you know 2 things: 1, that you have been shamed publicly, and 2, that you have.
To be shamed, you have to have shame first.
Right. that there is a resource here. I can get your backup on point in like 2 steps. So,
Okay. My backup game cool. will be got right.
Okay, cool. All right.
So I guess I'd say for most broken reliefs would be WildStar with their queue.
Mm.
Just their, I mean, hours upon end queues.
Yeah. So. The same could be said for what is that? The new Blizzard craft.
Diablo 3?
No, the
Draenor? Warlords of Draenor?
Yeah,
Did it queue?
Yeah, Space Pretty Orcs, yeah.
When was...
I feel like that's really, really something they need to get fixed. Like, I don't understand we have the technology that doesn't need to be a thing anymore.
Hmm.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, that seems like a solvable problem. When was the last launch that they were like, yeah, it went really well, they had enough servers from the get-go, and...
Well, the thing is, that's the whole point of cloud computing, is if you need more servers, you just rent some, and then once the initial rush is over, you stop renting them.
Yeah. You only pay for what you use. Sorry.
Not a cynical episode at all.
Yeah.
Where'd that one fall in the rain? I can
look at that here real quick as you guys go along. I wouldn't put it past Blizzard or anybody else to not have that be like a, you know, just like, it might be more complicated than just scaling up an EC2 instance.
Oh, it definitely would be, but I pay them to deal with that.
Mm. Yeah, that's probably true. You pay them to have a functional product.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen anymore. That's not a real thing.
Yeah.
You millennials.
Yeah. That was so not a cynical episode at all. It was kind of middle of the pack, coming in at number 23 out of 41. So
just like I probably expected.
Nice. David, what's David say?
So David says, day one patch of the year. Here downloaded 16 gigs before you can play your new game.
I don't know. So reading these responses, or these prompts rather, from our listeners, do we attract just like a really, really like just pessimistic crowd?
I say they all are pessimistic.
I like to think I have some hand in that.
I just say, okay. So just the fact that so far AC Unity is sweeping the rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think people I can't remember what game it is. I had a really good experience where one of the games I download from Steam, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we just put up a new version of the downloadable so that now when people download the game, it'll start out all patched up instead of having to download patches. It's like, yes, you are actually good people.
Yeah.
But I can't figure out what game that was.
I would actually say biggest day one patch, at least day one as of when I bought it, the PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Actually, yeah.
I think that on the whole, it might not be as much of a perpetual update machine as the PlayStation 3 was. But man, good.
It updates on its own autonomously.
Yeah. But that first day, like, I got it at 5 o'clock when the mail comes, which is extremely late for the mail to come. But that is for between me and the government, like a lot of things.
They know what they did.
Yeah, they, you know what you did, the government. I love the post office, actually.
Thanks, Obama.
Yes, they know what they did. I thought, yeah, I'm going to get a chance to, like, play some Grand Theft Auto or even, like, drop in some PT. It's going to be good. And, like, I was well on the way to, like, being done with dinner at around, like, 7:30 by the time I could even boot it up.
See, I don't know. Maybe they, you know, figured their stuff out and maybe have a better internet connection. Not to spoil what I'll be talking about on the, which, on the grind. But I didn't really have problems with that. What annoyed me was the, I guess I hadn't really thought through the whole, now if you want to do online gaming, you have to have PlayStation Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I just the whole, you know, you paid $400. Why don't you pay $50?
To be fair, that pot's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Oh, just in terms of the free games and all.
Well, yeah, but they'd have to put on decent games, which they haven't done in months.
They did Binding of Isaac games and SteamWorld Dig last month.
Yeah.
Dude, neither of those.
Money. All the Hitman games.
Yeah, Deadly Premonition this month. Like,
that's pretty legit. Yeah, I will give you that one.
Hop on that dog. Like, you know, just fire up your PlayStation 3, sign in, and download. Like, Deadly Premonition is like GOTY. Like, whatever you play Deadly Premonition in, that is the GOTY of that year.
Oh, sorry. You mentioned Binding of Isaac Rebirth, and I think that's actually my answer for this. Not because of any problems it had, but I think it was something unique to me. I got it on my Vita for free through the thing, and it had an update, so I tried to download it, and it wouldn't download. I didn't have enough space, so I had to go through and clear enough space for it, and then I tried to download it, and there was another update after that, and another update. And I think I might just be downloading the same update over and over. I'm not sure.
Is that why you haven't talked about Binding of Isaac?
It's why I haven't talked about Binding of Isaac. I'm stuck in some sort of freaking update loop.
That's a real problem. Like, I'm noticing that on my phone recently, just like every time an update comes out, like, oh, of your 32 gigabytes, we need 8 gigabytes to install this update.
Yeah,
fuck
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah. Like, scream.
Whoa. Dennis?
Yeah, I'm here.
Sorry, you agreed with me so hard that you came across four times. I'm going to leave that glitch in the recording just so people hear it.
Yeah, I heard it. It was great.
This is breaking the internet here. Sorry, I think that my internet might be wonky. But yeah, you know, screw you, download person who wants 8 of 32 gigabytes.
Yeah.
So he said, yeah, four times, and 8 is a fourth of 32. Coincidence? It's all a conspiracy theory.
On the Illuminati tip.
What would that be a conspiracy for?
I don't know.
Oh, man.
Well, there's the whole, what is it, like the 24 effect? Wait, what number is it?
23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jim Carrey did a movie about that. Yes, I did not watch it.
That was a good choice on your part.
trying to recapture that Eternal Sunshine, I'm a Serious Actor magic. Ben, did you have a day one patch?
So for me, it was all the PS3 games because I had ran out of space on my PS3. And so anytime I had to install a new game, I had to play Sophie's Choice with all of my old games. It's like,
oh,
well,
man,
take out the install of this one, I guess, or delete this Skyrim save file because it's very large.
Yeah.
That is one thing that Steam does that I kind of don't get why it's not more standard, especially because they're now charging for online stuff, is the whole backup your saves to the cloud.
Yeah, I think PlayStation Plus, you're able to back you're able to back up at least your save data to it, though.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
Double check that.
That's worth paying for.
Yeah. Which, it's good. I still have. I freaked out because I was trying to find my thumb drive that had all my Rock Band stuff on it, and I couldn't find it. I was like, well, I could download all those songs again, but I'm talking hundreds and hundreds of songs.
Oh my gosh, yeah, so many songs.
Right, and so it's like, well, fuck. Yeah, it's nice. I mean, Dennis's backup misgivings aside, it's nice knowing that there's a little bit of there's a little bit of magic in the cloud. Oh man, Ben, what's Geo Law ask us?
Geo Law says, unpopular opinion of the year. What is a strong opinion you personally hold that is in sharp contrast with the general consensus? Examples: people are too whiny about monetization of games, or Oculus is not the future of gaming, or NASCAR 2014 is game of the year.
And he continues, or no, actually, it's not about ethics in games journalism. That would be mine.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's my unpopular opinion. I really like Dark Souls 2. if there's something that I've discovered is that, you know, there are lots of people who equate, like, oh, I think that Dark Souls 2 does some really good stuff with I am white knighting Dark Souls 2 in general, which I'm not talking down to or speaking ill of anybody who listens to Bonfireside Chat, but that is kind of like a weird dynamic that came out of this year, is kind of the mass rejection of Dark Souls 2. But Ben, how about you? Do you have any unpopular opinions?
My unpopular opinion is that I don't like PlayStation Plus because they lock you in for a yearly payment.
Oh,
I know.
You don't do the
unpopular opinion?
I don't know.
It is on this podcast, if I have anything to say about it.
I know it's not the majority opinion on this podcast. I will say that much.
Actually, I think right now, I think we're 2-2.
See, yeah. I'm indifferent. Like, I'm just like, whatever, throw that on. I try and manage the number of monthly, like, recurring payments that I have. Mm-hmm. But like when it popped up to say, like, okay, here's the month, you know, here's the quarterly versus the yearly charge. I was like, okay, I'll take the quarterly, even though I know I'm paying a little bit more than I ought to because I know there's an exit. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I guess for me, it annoyed me. It's I realize this is totally like, psychological, product of my evolution or something like that. But like if there was a free month that came with the system, it would not bother me at all. The only thing that bothered me is that it feels to me like I bought a $450 game system instead of a $400 game system. Just the fact that it was an upfront cost just bothers me. Not rational.
What's weird about that is that it used to be what made that into a $450 console was you had to buy either a memory card or an extra controller with the console.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah, I remember the outrage with was it PlayStation 2 that the memory cards were so expensive? Same thing happened with the Vita. They really screwed people with the memory cards on that.
Oh, the Vita's exorbitant. At least PlayStation 2, like, they were like $25.
Hey, to kid Dennis, that was a lot of money.
Okay. So outrage. Outrage is very vaguely defined there. Yeah.
To adult Ben, that seems expensive too, especially considering the price of flash drives.
Yeah, for anything. Okay, think about that. Think about within the past 14 years, something was sold that had 8 megabytes of ROM, of flash ROM, for $25. 8 megabytes. Mm-hmm. That, my friends, is 2 MP3s of an average radio length song.
You would not get through Freebird with that. Because you would turn it off before it finished.
Yeah. Inadequate for Freebird. Cool. Let's see here. Dennis, What does Brandon ask?
Brandon asks, most uncomfortable gaming moment of the year, and has his own example. Mine was playing XCOM. I named one of my soldiers after my girlfriend. Never name your soldiers after people. But when she got her class, she became a heavy trooper. She laughed when I explained it was a random. It was random what class she got, but it became worse when she got her nickname, Big Mama.
That doesn't sound awkward. That sounds awesome.
If she stays, then she's the one.
She leaves. It was never meant to be. I've quoted a lot of Wayne's World over the past 15 to 25 years. So this is hard for me to answer because I do all of my gaming in solitude. Scratch that. Playing Binding of Isaac in public in my office filled mostly with like young Christian types. It's like, oh, it's my lunch break. I'm going to do some Rebirth. Cool. Like,
you should have seen that one coming.
I probably should have, but when I look at Isaac, all I see is squares and dots. Mm-hmm. I'm not lying. All I see is squares and dots. Like, it just boils down to mechanics.
You might want to get that check, man.
It's a real problem.
It's a very specific form of colorblindness.
Yeah. So I think that would be mine.
Go ahead. I was going to say, I have a similar experience where most of the time when I game by myself, but my answer is something for the content of the game, and that was the downloadable content for Bioshock Infinite. Mm. That's the most uncomfortable gaming moment of the year for me.
Oh.
End of the second one, or end of Burial at Sea Part 2.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yep.
Yep. Go back and listen to our spoiler episode if you want to know about that.
You know what? I think we don't even talk about it in that episode.
What?
I think it was such a long recording session.
Oh, you're right.
We skimmed over it. We didn't talk about the Yeah.
Man, that was a lot of talking.
Yeah.
mine actually came from a WoW game. I decided to play God Hand.
Ooh.
Which overall was a freaking phenomenal game. Like, absolutely loved it. But it was just timed out perfectly that every time my wife was in the room, I happened to be spanking someone. to the point where literally at some point while playing it, she turned to me and she goes, exactly how much time do you spend spanking people in this game?
Spanking women specifically. You don't spank dudes.
So, yeah, you don't spank dudes for some reason. You spank the women. Yeah. But it was, I mean, and, you know, she kind of did it with a glint in her eye, but it was just really funny that every time she was in the room, I'm like, I know I'm going to wind up spanking someone in the near future here.
How about you, David?
I'm honestly having trouble thinking of something. There's like debilitating fear of Skyrim spiders count as uncomfortable.
I'd say that's uncomfortable.
It's uncomfortable, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it only Skyrim spiders or is it any spiders?
Any sufficiently realistic spider, having them be as large as my car makes it worse.
David, every time I play a game now and I see like a large spider in the game, I'm like, oh, David should not play this game.
Stay away from Dragon Age, David.
Yep.
How do you feel about Devil May Cry? Because the first game has a couple of spiders in it, doesn't it?
It's sufficiently different when, you know, I'm also equipped with that level of heavy firepower.
Mm-hmm.
Also, the spiders aren't particularly spidery, if that makes sense.
I guess I'm thinking of the big magma spider. So
right, it's do you know what? Like,
at some point, it's more monster than spider.
Yeah.
Well, and also there's like a lot of what makes a spider creepy are like how it moves and like a lot of spiders in games just don't. Yeah, you know, whatever is my evolved response that when Lemur David was attacked by spiders, it doesn't trigger whatever part of my brain is left over from Lemur David.
I really like the prospect of humans evolving from lemurs.
Yep. That's why we're mostly nocturnal.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Here's the thing that I've noticed about video game spiders. I don't share your phobia, David. However, I've noticed that in 3D design, spiders often they play up the eyes on spiders. Whereas when I look at a spider from across the room and say, "Hey, spider, I see you, but I'm going to let you live because you eat mosquitoes and shit," I often don't see their eyes. And so
if you can see a spider's eyes, it's too late already.
It's also not a giant spider, though, to be fair.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you haven't been to Cole's apartment enough.
I guess not.
I think I let one too many spiders live. I let one too many spiders live.
They just merge. They, like, meld together.
They pay half the rent. It's cool.
It's a spider cave.
Playing Fall in London.
Yeah. All of my clothes are made of the finest silks.
What? Yo, it's like a rat king. Can you have a spider king?
Oh, that's exactly what I said.
That's terrifying.
Yeah. Sam Bear asks, best episode of a non-duck feed, non-gaming podcast.
What's that?
So I think this will separate the men from the boys. Who on this show actually listens to podcasts?
I do.
You do?
I
go
do.
Ahead. Go.
And now this is kind of similar to Don't Put Baby in the Fridge, but I will say, because it's in recent memory, the Hanukkah episode of Doug Loves Movies is very good, and that came out last week. So,
What movie did they talk about?
Wait, what does that have to do with putting babies in a fridge? Is there some Hanukkah tradition I don't know about?
It's dark, dude. You don't want to know.
It's the availability heuristic. It's most recent, so therefore it's going to jump to the top of mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, what made it good is I don't know how many actual podcasters were on it, but they were doing impressions of other people, which they do from time to time. But in this case, they had 8 different impressions that they were doing. So they had, I think, Jesse Ventura, Nick Nolte. not Nick Nolte. Sorry, Gary Busey. I don't know why I confused those two.
Well, because they look very similar in their mugshots.
Warner Herzog, Steven Seagal, stuff like that.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Yeah.
Movies only factors in the same way that video games factors into this podcast.
Oh yeah, no, that's it's perfectly
tangentially.
Fun. Yeah, it's we're for people who love video games. I cannot stress that enough, folks. Man, how about you, David?
So I generally don't listen to podcasts. I'm someone I can't focus on more than one thing at a time, so I can't do like the podcast while I'm working out or driving or, you know, anything like that. So although I would say I really like, there's a guided meditation service called Headspace that I use.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's at least podcast-esque.
It's podcast if every week they tell you no. Flex every muscle of your body, and from your toes to the top of your head, relax.
No, it's kind of uncomfortable because it's a British dude with the voice of Wheatley that that does it, and so I'm now programmed to get very nervous when someone with that voice tells me that I should just close my eyes and relax and not worry about whatever's going on.
Just let it happen, David.
Yeah.
Stephen Merchant, by the way.
Yes. Who is like everywhere. Huh. Dennis, how about you?
Mine would be the episode of Mubim Bam, which is the one, and now I guess technically two, podcasts outside of Duck Feed that I listen to. The one where they did the D&D together while... Yeah, while Justin was having a kid, they, I guess, pre-recorded an episode of them just playing D&D together. And, I've never played it before. I think the closest I've ever gotten was the episode that, was that WAF did on it?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, and I listened to that live session, and it just didn't click for me.
Mm-hmm.
But listening to this, I'm like, oh my God, it's funny. So, you know, and I kind of understand the appeal of the game a little more. And they actually, the reason I went from one to two is they've actually now spun that off into its own podcast.
The Adventure Zone.
The Adventure Zone, yeah. So here there be gerblins. And it's the first, it comes out every 2 weeks, which is disappointing because I want to hear more of it. So man, that'll be.
It's funny what that line is between once every week and once every other week.
It's really weird. Yeah,
I know, right?
It's like I keep on going back to my podcatcher to check it, just out of habit, because it's like, oh, new week, it should be. Oh no, that's right, every 2 weeks.
Wow, so. I can't believe you only listen to 2 podcasts.
No, well, I listen to like everything on DuckFeed TV outside of.
Well, I expect that of you.
Yeah, and then yeah, those two. But that's like that keeps me relatively well stocked for my commute time. I need to play the freaking Dark Souls DLC. So I can continue with Bonfire Side Chat. But now I'm just getting into in-house talk. Yeah, the Adventure Zone.
And Cole, what is yours?
Sorry, I just determined that I'm subscribed to over 50 podcasts.
Oh, my Lord.
You crazy motherfucker.
you cannot listen to all of those.
Oh, yes,
you?
I can.
What?
Yeah.
That's so much listening.
I live alone and I cannot be alone with my thoughts.
All right. So truth time. Do you ever listen to a podcast while recording the show?
No.
All right.
No. So I can't listen to a podcast while I'm doing anything that
technically
requires.
Technically, he is listening to a podcast while he.
Touche.
Pedantry. No. I can't listen to a podcast while I'm doing anything that requires the vocal track of my brain. Okay. So like while I'm writing or doing any kind of heavy reading, however, if I'm doing anything menial that doesn't require my direct vocal attention or speaking to somebody, I generally have one on in the background. So
I can't believe that you'll play video games with a podcast running. That
is all the time.
It's very hard. Like there are one or two games that I can play without sound.
Yeah.
And otherwise I just need to have it. Even if I, you know, it's not a direct, you know, necessary to play the game. I just need to have the sound.
I have a.
It nerves me to not have that.
I always have the sound going. I listen to all of Hardcore History, or at least the ones that are available for free, while playing Morrowind for those 75 hours.
Well, but then I always find that either. Well, no, it's always I get, you know, 30 minutes in the podcast and I realize I haven't comprehended the thing that I've heard.
No, I never ran into that. I also, like, if something comes up that needs my attention, I'm quick to pause and then resume what I'm listening to. Yeah. But that's a bunch of logistics. I'm going to say the episode of Roderick on the Line called All the Great Shows, which is the new entree to the new entry point to Roderick on the Line for any new listeners who are looking for it. Because
what is that show about?
So that is Merlin.
Do I listen to that episode?
You listen to that episode, and you're going to get a pretty good picture of it. So Merlin Mann on whatever show that he's on is generally not the straight man, right? He generally is the wackadoodle guy who tells crazy stories. However, John Roderick of the Long Winters, uses Roderick on the Line to be the not straight man, and Merlin gets in there and kind of is the rock that sets him off. And so All the Great Shows is a line from what John Roderick said upon meeting Dan Harmon. I don't want to ruin the story, but it's a pretty good one, and it kind of sets off the entire dynamic between the two of them. And I assure you, after listening to All the Great Shows, you're probably going to want to go back and start from the beginning, because it is a long storytelling podcast that plays out as a conversation between two old friends. Yeah, it's funny, it's pretty good, but you know, like, it is of the genre of podcasts that that Gary calls friendship porn, where it's like, oh, you're listening to two people have, you know, their kind of conversation. So it's long and free form, and, you know, probably not so much like haha laugh out loud funny, and more on like, oh, like this is interesting and involving.
Yeah. It's all the fun of conversation without the pressure to meaningfully contribute.
Yes.
Hey, that's what I do on the podcast.
I was going to say, wait a minute.
But that's just because you guys know if you don't say anything, I will fill the dead air.
You are a rock, Cole.
I am the island. Sean Peter asks, or, you know, submits, unfulfilled expectation of the year. Ben, we know yours.
Which one?
Last Guardian.
All right, yeah, that's the one I was going to go with. But there's also Batman,
there was new,
too.
There's new hope for The Last Guardian. They said it's continuing. They've confirmed that it's still a thing.
Okay.
Hmm. Have any of the real long-form development hell games ever been good?
We won't think too long on that.
Final Fantasy XII.
Really?
I mean, really? That's probably my ongoing unpopular opinion, is that I really like Final Fantasy XII. But, yeah.
Huh.
I would say that.
There are so many games delayed into 2015 this year.
Yeah.
It was almost like a joke. Like,
2014 is a bye year.
Yeah, exactly. It's a rebuilding year.
like 2013 was, okay, here's the last hurrah of the Xbox 360, PS3 generation. All of the good stuff is going to come out. You know, your Last of Us and whatnot, which is a pretty apt title when you think about it. But 2014, just crickets.
Yeah. Mm. So I've got a list of the 2014 games that have been delayed into 2015.
Hit us.
Batman Arkham Knight, The Witcher 3, Wild Hunt, The Order 1886, and I'll be happy if that never comes out. Quantum Break,
oh,
Dying
that looks
Light,
so good.
The Division, Mad Max, Valve's Steam Controller, not a game.
Yo, dog, can you get up on your mic a bit?
Oh, yeah, sorry. And the list ends there, so I don't know what happened.
That's not as bad as I thought.
Oh, it was posted in June 6th. Never mind.
Okay, cool.
This is from in June.
Yeah, that was right after E3.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
I'll say mine. I'm pretty upset that so unfulfilled expectation of the year. I was hoping that Bloodborne was coming out earlier in 2015, which is an unfulfilled expectation via proxy.
Is it comes out on February 5th, right?
No, it comes out on March
January 2nd. Yeah. Why couldn't they push it up to the 1st?
put it in my veins. No, March the 26th.
Did that get moved back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
for a little bit, it was coming out on my birthday.
Yeah.
I'm being very excited about that.
Oh, no. They can triangulate now. No, it's March the 24th.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. How about you, David?
I would say anything done by Ubisoft. Because I really like open world games. Ubisoft has made a ton of them this year, and they've all been bad.
It kind of seems to be all they do.
Yeah. Well, which?
Open world, not like bad games. Like, they've done open world stuff in the past.
And I'm completely okay with that. Like, Ubisoft is basically making the games I want. I would say the other thing is I stumbled onto the kind of sequel project to Stalker Shadow of Chernobyl, which is basically like a... they're like pseudo MMO, and it's like the quality level is like sub free to play.
Is that the is that horseshit that was Kickstarted?
I don't think, they Kickstarted it.
No, there's some developers opted to not so much illegally, but gray marketedly make a game called Stalker, claiming that it doesn't infringe on the trademark. Yeah.
No, this was actually made by the team, but I mean, it's just, yeah.
Weird.
Granted, yeah. I mean, considering their location, they probably had, it's, you know, there's probably a lot of other things to worry about right now.
They're Ukrainian, right?
Yeah.
Shit, that's a tough break. Huh. So. I hope everybody's okay there. They make good stuff.
Yeah.
Ben, how about you? I know we joked about Last Guardian, but...
No, that's honestly the answer for me. No. That and Arkham Knight.
Like, at least Arkham Knight, you can be assured that, like, oh, well, they never even asked for extra time. Like that is a positive thing in that they set that date, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like, oh, okay, here's the time we need.
Yeah, I mean, that's just an unfulfilled expectation because it was originally going to be this year. And so I had originally planned on October, but...
Yeah.
I'm not upset or anything. I'm just unfulfilled.
Yes, it is.
See, I think they should just come out and say, Last Guardian will be released like in the same year as Half-Life 3. And that way it's all on Valve's shoulders.
Well, no, and then Valve can just say, well, Half-Life 3 is going to be released the same year that The Last Guardian is. And so it's an arms race.
They'll
it's a Cold
actually
War.
Actually, release Half-Life 3 though. Like, there's progress on that. They're just not talking about it. Last Guardian, there's little progress, and they sometimes talk about it once every couple of years.
Did they admit that they stopped?
Last Guardian?
Yeah.
No, but I just don't think that there's many people working on it. Like, even the original game designer Uday is like, he's a consultant for it. Like, that happened like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, he broke off to be an independent developer.
Yeah.
Has he made anything since then?
I don't know.
It's pretty easy.
to look here. I don't know. There's no way to find out.
Actually, no, like nothing that I've seen. Huh. Mm-hmm. Neat. How about you, Dennis?
Not sure.
Oh, that's so fine.
We're still like unfulfilled expectation. Any of those games on the list that I read from?
Yeah. Okay. So, but you seem particularly disdainful of The Order, though.
Well, that just looks like a bad game.
Okay.
So maybe can I make my unfulfilled expectation like, hey, cool, like that era which shall not and style which shall not be named,
which is amazing.
Yeah, like the concept and everything looks so good, and it's like these are really pretty demos that really don't do anything, and like the demo that they showed at the PlayStation Experience was freaking like them standing on top of a blimp and then done, like nothing happened.
What was funny about that game is I was like, not so much like I wasn't like excited, you know, I wasn't slavering for it or anything, but that E3 promo that they did where all of a sudden it's a game about werewolves.
Yeah, like that was their the big reveal was gonna be like, oh, you don't know what the thing they're fighting is, and it's like werewolves, and you're like, oh, like, man,
I'd kind of rather it just be dudes, but okay.
Yeah. But then, even then, like that entire demo was a QuickTime event.
Yeah,
like it was on rails.
It could have been zombies.
I feel about that like I feel about the introduction of zombies in The Last of Us. Like I'm disappointed that The Last of Us used zombies.
Well, yeah, I think I'm disappointed that anything uses zombies at this point.
Yeah,
zombies are the disappointment. Or unfulfilled expectation.
Yeah. I forget who it is in the rotation, so I'm just going to say, Ben, what does Omgamoose say?
Shameful moment of the year. Clear the air for Santa.
For me, it's realizing just how bad I am at fighting games and having my ass repeatedly handed to me across multiple games by my wife. Just because she doesn't invest nearly the amount of time into games that I do, and yet she just has a knack for fighting games that I will never have.
Hey, it's called talent.
Yeah, apparently.
I didn't say that to be glib. I mean, just there's a difference between talent and skill. They are multipliers, but you know, talent is something that you really don't have a lot of control over.
I think the situation though just highlights much more my lack of it than her having it.
Right.
It's embarrassing. It's my shameful moment of the year.
Hey, that's something that she has, you know.
Oh yeah,
she can have it. She can have it. It's hers. How about you, David?
I think for me, it's realizing how horrible I am at using a controller. In particular, I think of when I played Borderlands, all the difficulty I had. Trying to turn in a mission while Sir Hammerlock dodged my ability to press X like it was an agent from the Matrix.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
I can't really think of one. I've tried to rack my memory.
Have you no shame?
Maybe seeing Watch Dogs all the way to the end. I probably should have played it for that long.
You're just getting ready for Watch Dogs 2.
Oh, yeah. I'm counting down the days.
Coming out in 4 months.
What? Is it?
No, I'm just... All right. I mean, Ubisoft.
Yeah, I know.
It's safe to say, and I will answer the depths of my depravity in trying to beat Dark Souls 2 within a week.
Ooh.
that was a rough 75 hours, my friends. That was rough.
Which was worse, that or Morrowind?
I would say I had like a month to beat Morrowind. Mm-hmm. I had 10 days to beat Dark Souls 2 before we got started. Realistically, like not including the day one, you know, like the first impressions kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Man, I do not envy anybody who has to review games like professionally.
Yeah.
It just seems like such a, I just can't stay still for that long, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think it depends on the game. Like, I'm really glad that I powered through Spec Ops and Bioshock Infinite, but I feel like something like Dark Souls or an Assassin's Creed or, you know, anything that's more kind of long form, I feel like would not, that just won't work.
Yeah. Like, something that I've really worked on this year is trying to get my assignment play under control. And, you know, you've heard me say, like, oh, ain't played shit. Been trying to beat stuff for other shows. But, like, I genuinely want to get that, like, I want to make it so that's not a problem. So, like, I'm legit, like, a month or so ahead. But, like, as new stuff is decided, I have to keep playing at the same rate to stay the same amount ahead.
Yeah.
So, like, it's tough. That's just, like, a weird podcaster problem. Right.
Yeah, playing a video game with a deadline in mind is a really not fun experience.
Yeah. Let's see here. James Robinson asks, malware of the year, game least like Dark Souls of the year. A bird story for game least like Dark Souls. Yeah, I like that game a lot. It's real sweet. Malware of the year. would probably be Trovi, which is a browser search engine hijack, which I still have yet to get rid of, and I just don't use that browser anymore.
So I would say game least like Dark Souls of the year. It didn't come out this year, but the reboot of Prince of Persia, where you literally could not die.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Prince of Persia 2008, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd say for malware of the year, I'm going to go with Windows 8.
Sick burn. Mm. Also, that was last year, so 8.1 was this year. But
still.
Yeah.
Try not to think too hard about Windows 8.
Yeah. Ben.
All right. For malware of the year, I guess it would go with U2's album, maybe.
Pretty good.
And game least like Dark Souls, I'll pull a David on this one too, and I'll say Braid, another game where you can't die and you can undo your mistakes very easily.
Yeah. Dennis.
Malware of the year is third-party charging cables for me, apparently.
Mm, yeah.
Hard shut down my computer. Yeah. Game least like Dark Souls of the year. Like, the immediate thought I had was Katamari Damacy, but... I don't know if that came out.
I mean, this year.
Anytime this decade, even.
Why do you say that one?
Just because it's so happy-go-lucky and...
no challenges.
Maybe, again, not something that came out this year, but Borderlands might be just totally as different from Dark Souls as you can get.
Mm. Mm. Yeah, you could probably throw in, like, Tales from the Borderlands for that.
But I feel I haven't done the... You know, I don't know anything about that. That's a Telltale game that's got, you know...
It's apparently really good.
Yeah, I just haven't heard anything about it. But sure.
But it also has the tone of Borderlands, which is pretty opposed to Dark Souls, and also no gameplay aside from making the choices that you play, you know, that you make.
Yeah, well, that's the interesting thing is I wonder how much it's true to the Borderlands tone and how much it takes the Borderlands universe and evolves the tone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a lot. Some of the reviews I saw kind of said it's sort of interesting to see. It's kind of what do people do in Borderlands when they aren't shooting things?
Hmm. Yeah, and the tone of Borderlands, the fact that Tales from the Borderlands is good or it has been reviewed well tells me that they can't have just straight up stuck with the tone of Borderlands, because mm-hmm. the tone of Borderlands is functional if you just want something jokey to move you from mission to mission. Fine. Mm. That's not the point of those games. But if you're going to do a game that the story is the point, you have to do something different.
Could they be reviewing it in the context, though?
Maybe. Like I said, I haven't paid much attention to it at all.
I downloaded it, and when I launched the executable, it just took me to the front page of Reddit. So. Let's see here. Dennis, what does Brian say?
Brian says, game of the year all years. I nominate Spelunky. Spelunky wins. It is so declared. I don't think we can argue with that, guys.
Nope.
Spelunky. Yeah, it's Spelunky. It's not even, yeah. Wait, was that your...
Yes, I cannot do that. I'm genetically unable to.
He has a sci-fi moped.
Do you even know what a chicken sounds like?
You made it into the slide from the bass line from the Humpty Dance.
That is how I roll. I'm sticking by that engine noise.
I'm going to throw this in just because I've been playing a lot of it recently for WoW. Rock Band.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. If that ever slips out of my, what is one of the best games of all time discussions, it's because I've forgotten that Rock Band is a thing, even though I dedicate whole closets of my house to it.
Also, what is it? Saints Row released the Game of the Century edition. So, I mean, they're at least making a play.
Yeah, very aggressive. A very aggressive attempt at self-branding.
Almost as confident as Willennium.
I dropped a Willennium reference and it found good company. So,
good.
Okay, what is Willennium? Apparently, I missed that one.
Willennium is the 1999 album by Will Smith that came out declaring 2000 through 2000 and or to 2999 as the Willennium. Also, that is the album whose lead single was the theme song to Wild Wild West.
An excellent piece of speculative history.
Yeah, for the main villain, his motivation is the fact that he does not have a dick.
That's Kenneth Branagh, by the way. Sir Kenneth Branagh.
Sir Kenneth Branagh has no dick. You heard it here first.
Also known from Hamlet. Yes.
Dennis, how about you?
It's Spelunky.
Okay, cool.
I was going to say, for something that is manifestly not a question, fairly successful in answering it.
Like, I don't think you guys were paying enough attention. This is settled. Like, there's no... we can riff on it, but it's objective fact.
He nominates Spelunky. He nominates.
But then immediately after, Spelunky wins.
Also wins.
That's just like
reading for comprehension, Cole.
His opinion. I read up until the part that I agreed with. Oh man, David, what's Danny ask?
Strangest Pandora suggestion of the year. I mean, I really like Corvus Corax now, but I fail to see what they have in common with Diablo Swing Orchestra.
I'm sure there's at least one other person there who that landed for.
Diablo Swing Orchestra is the band that does the theme song for Those Damn Ross Kids. However, I don't have a story. Like, I don't listen to Pandora. Like, I have my four bands that I listen to, and I'm fine with that. But whenever Red Hot Chili Peppers comes on the radio at work, the iTunes radio, it is incumbent upon whoever is nearest the iPad that controls the sound system to skip the song. And if not, if I am available, I will run to skip it for everybody else's sake.
No.
Danny California, Danny Nope of Fornia. Yeah, it is the rule of iTunes radio. It is like the second law of thermodynamics. It is Red Hot Chili Pepper entropy that every channel, no matter what. I had Red Hot Chili Peppers turn up on the Buddy Holly station once.
Seems legit. Yeah. Yep.
it's like you know, there was an article on NPR or something about how there are viruses that used to be really deadly to people, but it's just they've been around for so long that they've kind of, everyone has them, but our bodies have just adapted to where they can't really do that much damage. It's that way with Red Hot Chili Peppers. They're the ancient virus of the music world.
The human race has built up an immunity to them.
Yeah.
I have no idea what any of you are talking about.
I had an interesting one the other day. We use Songza all the time just for like nice calming music for baby when we're trying to put him to sleep. And they've got a lot, like, you know, they got moods. And so I think sleepy or calming or something like that is one of the moods that you can choose. So
and then Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, and Red Hot Chili Peppers came on. it was totally right. Like, it was a very soothing sound, but it was just a very angry song lyric wise. And it's songs I never listened to the same song twice. Like, I couldn't tell you the artist or whatever, but it was just about how he like hates his girlfriend and everything sucks and like very aggressively so. Yeah. Like, I feel like someone from Gamergate would not have been necessarily opposed to this song. It wasn't necessarily pro Gamergate in tonality, but just very, very uncomfortably angry at this woman.
Right.
But in a very like happy and calming tone. So that, and we got halfway through it, and both Jen and I looked at each other and we're like, are we hearing this? What the hell is going
is this
on?
Happening?
Yeah, I sauntered over to just skip it.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
Not really a strange suggestion, but a good one. Hot Sugar is a band that I found about recently through Pandora. So.
Nice.
Yeah.
Let's see here. David, what's Daniel say?
Daniel says, best Kirby hat of the year. Who gives Kirby the best hat ever in Smash Bros?
I've not played Smash Brothers, so I don't know.
Does he get hats?
I think so.
Yeah, when you eat people, you get a hat. It always bothered me that, like, for example, if you eat generally one of the Pokemons, you apparently just get, like, the skinned top half of Pikachu's head that you kind of wear as a hood.
He scalped Pikachu?
That's how I interpret it.
Oh, man.
But I think my favorite is... Snake, where he gets the headband and grows the stubble.
Oh, he gets the mullet? Yeah.
Kirby becomes a man.
I'm just picturing her. Kirby at a bar mitzvah. This is more of a hypothetical than a joke or even a response, but what happens when Kirby eats Mega Man?
Oh, hold on. I've got a picture of that for you.
Okay.
I'm literally looking at that right now.
Cole, I imagine the worst nightmare for you ever is loading up Rock Band and Danny California being the only song playable on it.
Everything else like skips.
Huh. Wait, didn't you used to be a fan of theirs?
When I was like in fifth grade.
Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, huh, so he just... I guess I was more concerned about the power set of Kirby with Mega Man hat, but yes, that is indeed Kirby with a Mega Man helmet. let's scoot through the rest of these guys. Phil Holmes asks, greatest character voice by Nolan North of the year? I'm just going to turn this into a recommendation. Watch I Know That Voice. It's hilarious because Nolan,
that's actually a good one.
Nolan North pops up about pretty much in every segment, and his lower third like credit is a different video game every time. Yeah.
Hold on, you missed Murph.
Oh, well, we'll go back to that. That's fine. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I've played any games with Nolan North voicing anyone this year, which I feel like that on its own... I feel like is a life achievement.
That honestly translates to I've played games where I didn't know Nolan North was voicing it.
No, I checked his IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe he took a year off.
Yeah. I did because I'm a man who still watches cartoons. I did enjoy him as young Superman on whatever. Series that was that came up on Netflix. So.
Was it Superman?
What was that?
I don't know.
Young Justice on Netflix.
I'm really smart, guys.
I'm going to go with the character he plays in The Last of Us, and which I can use this year because it was re-released.
That's like the lamest technicality.
Yeah, because like I never knew it was him. I figured out it was him. And then forgot it was him, and then got to figure it out again. So it was like a double treat.
Yeah.
So
like your head nearly spinned entirely around on your body when I said that a couple of episodes ago.
Yep.
Huh.
So that was nice.
You have one, Ben?
If we could step outside of this year, I would say Nolan North and Saints Row.
Yep, that's a pretty good one. By default, I'm going to say his character in Rick and Morty. So
wait, who is he in Rick and Morty?
Scoopy, somebody. Okay. So Scroopy Noopers.
You guys have stopped saying words that I understand.
Yeah, is that
Rick and Morty is a really good television series.
Ah,
yes,
it is.
The two main characters are voiced by Justin Roiland, also known as the Earl of Lemon Grab.
I'm sure that's how he introduces himself.
Yes.
It's on his business card, yes.
Dennis, since you raised it, what does Murph ask?
Murph asks, Best Dennis Furia of the Year, nominations, Dennis Furia and Jolichan.
Yep. Jol is a pretty good Dennis.
She nailed it.
Knocked it out of the park. I'm trying to think of who else could be me for the year, or nominated for best me of the year.
Look at me. Sony. That's still 2014. Yeah. I humbly submit myself.
Well,
before
I mean, can we count Alpaca Llama as a mini me?
I was thinking about that. I wasn't sure if that would qualify, but we can add that.
He showed up on the stream. He technically is property of the network. You guys really, really should have read those contracts.
No, that was part of the Duckfeed live stream. I think he's actually your son now, Cole.
Yes, because I exchanged Saints Row 4 for him. <That's right>. No, it's because we reached that goal, I can name him and also take possession of him, no matter what. And trust me, when he gets old enough to tend the field, I intend to call him. I intend to call that in.
You knock on the door or whatever Hagrid did in Harry Potter.
You're a podcaster, Luke.
Ben, what does David J. Morin ask?
David Morin says, funniest animal video of the year.
Okay, I actually have one for this. So it is Living Our Prayer Goat Edition. Which is just all the yes and other similar sounds replaced with a goat screaming.
Yeah, also known as Any Given Night at Karaoke. yeah.
So.
What I will say is, if you're ever feeling particularly sad or depressed, look up videos of baby goats. Not baby goats. That is what you said, David. No, baby owls. Baby owls.
Baby owls. Aw.
They're adorable. People pet them, and they're all like, "Yeah, let me lean into that. Let me get a piece." Yeah.
Mine's the Wimpy Goat video. I think I shared it to the other hosts of this podcast.
Hmm.
But it's, wait, you know, it's a little baby goat, and he goes, meh. And the guy's like, oh, that was pathetic. Come on, go. And he goes, meh. And it's really cute.
Yeah. How about you, Ben?
I abstain from watching animal videos because I feel like an older person if I do that. Mm.
Oh,
I don't know
yeah.
why.
You feel like an aunt?
Yeah.
I only say aunt because I don't want to say you feel like an aunt in the context of a conversation about animals. let's see here. Phil Holmes returns to ask, also glitch or game breaking bug of the year.
Hmm.
I had never really encountered anything like that.
Yeah, I still can't play any Ubisoft games on my PC because Uplay doesn't work.
No. See,
that's
also the reason I bought Dragon Age Inquisition on the PlayStation 4 instead of PC, because I don't want to have to deal with the Origin client.
Yeah. I tried to play Metro 2033, maybe, whatever was free on PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Download it, and it just wouldn't run. Like the title screen would come up, and it didn't work. So I went through the trouble of uninstalling it and reinstalling it, and had the same problem.
Oh wow!
So that was shitty.
Hmm. That yeah. So yeah. All of this probably leads into Jeff's question, which is Ubisoft dick move of the year. Which gets rolled up into that. Ben, do you have either of those? Did Ubisoft do anything to you in Watch Dogs besides the story?
Well, I would say just continually thinking that releasing a game every year is a good idea.
Yeah. That is something that breaks games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Evan asks, sandwich of the year. Mine was a pulled pork I had back in April.
Mm. Mm.
I made myself a pretty good chicken parmesan on homemade ciabatta a little bit earlier. It was pretty choice.
Nice.
Yeah. I got invited to a haika party and they had some amazing Rubens.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. I'll go with Hell's Kitchen that I got at a deli that's nearby that introduced me to egg salad on sandwiches that I liked.
Oh, that sounds just exotic. Now?
Well, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
You lived a sheltered life.
I've heard of a chicken salad sandwich, but not an egg sandwich. Egg salad sandwich.
Mm-hmm. How is egg salad salad?
It's salad in the sense that it is a cold dish prepared with a suspension of oil-based dressing.
A suspension of disbelief. Totally salad.
What? Shut up.
Mine had to be Gordo's BPJ burger.
Mm. Oh, is that the burger that has peanut butter and jelly on it?
Not only does it have peanut butter and jelly, it also has bacon and bananas.
Oh, so it's like the Elvis burger. All that's missing is a slight glaze of peanut butter.
You.
Yeah. You have to eat it on a toilet, and there's somebody waiting off to the side with a small revolver.
So good.
Yeah. When we went to Gordo's that one time, that is a burger restaurant here in our neck of the woods in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I was looking for the plainest burger I could get. Everything there is like crazy. I would call them stunt burgers.
Stunt burgers.
None of them are that crazy. Exactly. None of them are that crazy. But yeah.
Like it's a burger that has a full Bloody Mary like sunk into it.
No, that was just their black and blue.
No. Yeah. Black and blue and red, yeah. And red all over. And finally, Mikhail rounds us out with trend/technology that makes you feel old and irrelevant of the year.
So I'll add one of when you start doing Twitch, I guess, since that's a lot more accessible through PS4, listening to the people who are watching you can make you feel older, since a lot of them are much younger, you know.
Yeah.
Huh.
But I will say that the language and memes of Reddit and 4chan permeating kind of some of this conversation, around Gamergate, and especially reading like, oh, we're phrasing everything as this military operation, just makes me think, wow, your world is very small compared. And it's like, I don't want to sound like I'm above it, but just, Operation Le Disrespectful Nod. It's like, what the fuck? Also, seeing everybody prepend le to everything when I work with the guy who made that video.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've told this story before. It's like, that is so weird that is like cropped up. And I know that he is not responsible for the entire French language, but the thing they are referencing is something that somebody I know made, which is bizarre. How about you, Dan?
I'm trying to think of mine, and I can't think of anything off the top. Maybe, okay, so I got an iPhone 5S, so I didn't even go to the current gen, and they had like the tips app where I opened it up and it gave me all these tips on how to use my phone. I was like, oh, you can do this. Oh, you can do this. Oh my goodness, so advanced. And I spent way too long scrolling through different tips, and I probably remember none of them, but being educated on technology in that fashion
made me
feel old.
It might save your life. Imagine.
This is an app for my mom that I'm getting just as much value out of.
That you can't delete. sometime in the next 4 months, you're going to be trapped in a burning car that's about ready to explode. It's overturned. You have nothing within reach aside from your phone, and it could save your life that you'll realize you write a tip one time long ago that you could call emergency services with it.
Yeah. Or you just, Siri, protect me, and this bubble shield goes out of the iPhone. PlayStation iPhone coming in 2016.
I want to be protected by thermonuclear Clippy.
He's there whether you want him or not. How about you, David?
I think for me, just finished up the semester, and at one point I realized that I was kind of frustrated because I was doing like cancer gene analysis in my browser and it was taking forever. And then I realized I was doing cancer gene analysis in Firefox.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, okay.
It's like everybody wearing like Chrome t-shirts is like, out of the way, old man. And like just kick some mud on your shoes. Huh. Wow, that might be the longest multiplayer we've ever done.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. High score.
High score. So thank you, everybody. We're going to be return toward the beginning of next year. We're taking next week off. But in the meantime, you should definitely watch the Facebook page at facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Those prompts will go up. And we really appreciate all of you sticking around with us in the past year and kind of bringing the heat, you know?
Yeah.
The grind. It is now time for the grind, where we talk about the games that we have been playing over the past week or so. And because the multiplayer ran so long, I'm going to limit us to one game apiece. I'm also going to abdicate my spot because really the only game I've played in any depth, Ben is probably going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Dragon Age.
Yeah, so hit it.
Boom, I played some. That's it. It's a long game, okay?
It is.
I put about 6 hours in. It was fun. I'm still playing it. I don't know. There's not much to say about it.
Yeah. So what struck me, like, I'm super happy with it so far. Like, and by so far, I mean literally I just did the first mission, like the Wrath of Heaven or whatever.
Okay.
And so, like, I rolled up a human female rogue. That's pretty cool. The character designer was pretty fun. It's funny how, like, looking at this game and looking back at the others, like, each game kind of has its own distinct, like, really strong color.
And this one's green.
This is a green ass game. It's so strong.
I'm sorry.
Oh, like just the invading force in this is kind of coming through rifts between the Fade and the material plane, and like those and the magic that control them are all this very bright neon green color.
Yeah.
And so it just
sticks out.
It definitely does. So whereas, you know, the first game was kind of, it'll sound like I'm making a joke about that generation of games, but like really brown, you know, like everything kind of like came back to that realism, you know, kind of feel limited palette. And two was definitely red. Right.
Okay.
I never played two, but I agree on the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. This is green as all get out. And like, it's probably easy to call it off-putting because it's so strong. However, it is such a unifying design aesthetic around it, and it like sticks out every time you see it, that I can't help but like commend them for sticking to their guns a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So with a question for you, the female rogue, what are you rolling her as? Is she like an archer, or is she backstabbing? Is it stealth, or
like a DPS rogue? So backstabby kind of stuff.
Cool.
like when you pick your setup at the beginning, it's either archery or dual daggers. You know, and so I did dual daggers because honestly that's what I've done in the previous two games, and it's like, oh, I'm used to that way of playing.
Yeah
Cool.
Do they support non-stealthy rogues?
Cool. Yep. You know it's the same kind of like tech tree kind of approach, so you can avoid the subterfuge attack altogether, although there's some pretty good like high DPS stuff in that as well.
I'm
I'm pretty pleased with it. Graphically, it's a little bit weird to go to this from Dark Souls 2 on the PC, which is predominantly what I've been playing over the past like 3 weeks or so. Let's say 2 weeks, because that is 1080p at 60 frames a second. Sometimes even higher, whereas on PS4 this looks really good. However, it's locked at 30, it appears. So like that choppiness, like that extra grain, whereas if I hadn't gotten used to the 60 frames, it probably wouldn't put me off to it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's still something to get used to. And like, that's kind of the nice part. You do get used to it eventually. But
You really do learn how to watch things.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, it's weird because like my preferred frame rate for watching anything is 24 because that is the frame rate of film, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you know, so like if everything was locked at that, however, there's just some kind of like weird responsiveness and effect refreshing stuff, especially like around the edges of like stuff that is semi transparent that just really pops out, especially on an LCD TV, that really bugs me. So that's just kind of something that's kind of like, oh. I you know, I'm looking at the skin of this character as I'm creating her, and because everything is standing kind of still, I can see like, oh, there are like individual pores, and I can see like just like what the differences in the complexion are. That's pretty cool. And the way everything animates, like it looks super good. And then like when everything is like zoomed out and trying to run it action, it appears a little bit janky. I don't know.
It feels very similar to Knights of the Republic in my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just in terms of flow.
Yeah, like run, pause when there's a fight that begins, you know, choose how you're going to resolve it and then play.
Yeah. Have you have you found yourself dipping into tactical mode anymore?
Not much.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't had to need it. I use it when I'm in a situation where I die a lot.
Yeah,
but that
yeah.
hasn't come up too often, so thankfully I haven't had to use it.
Yeah.
I spent so much time in Origins with the if then commands you could give all your teammates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is there anything like that in this game, or is it like a VATS kind of deal?
Exactly that. They have exactly
that. VATS.
Yeah. Not exactly VATS, but exactly the if then kind of like programming tactics stuff.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. And it's funny because this plays like a little bit like a cross between Dragon Age 1 and 2. Would you agree with that, Ben?
I never played the first one.
Oh, really? Wow. So yeah. So we have somebody who's played the first one but not the second, and somebody who's played the second but not the first.
Together, we can talk about this game series.
Yes, we can. It's a little bit like Mass Effect, how Mass Effect 3 brought in some of the elements from the first game for the final entry in the trilogy.
Like the low quality?
Sick burn! Yeah, that's kind of surprising because 2 is decidedly more action focused than either 1 or this one, but to, you know, like to a much lesser degree than this one, right?
Mm-hmm. Wait, so what is the actual combat system when you are, I guess, in real time mode or whatever?
It never dips out of real time. It's just there's like a pause button essentially, and as soon as you press it, it goes to an overhead view, and you can kind of choose what actions everyone's going to take.
Like issue commands.
Yeah. And then
do you queue them up one at a time, or do you actually do like, hey, if your health gets below 25%, heal?
They have both, but it's two separate things. So the tactics are in the pause menu, like the menu proper, and the overhead view is like in game. And
orders,
there's a toggle.
Basically.
Got it.
Yeah. And there's a toggle where you can slowly advance your time when you're in the overhead view.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a lot of control over the battle from that point.
So here's the hierarchy. Either the character you're directly controlling, which you can go between all of your party members, directly issuing commands to people, and then that supersedes the tactics that you set out, which is the if-then stuff. And then that supersedes whatever is the general self-preservation kind of AI that they have around them.
Got it. Okay.
So, yeah.
But then the actual combat, once it gets done, whoever you're controlling, is it like a Mass Effect where you actually are aiming and running and hitting things?
There's like a lock on, and you have a button that does your like regular attack.
Sure.
If you're like a melee focused character, and I assume it range as well. And then it's a little bit like an MMO where you have kind of cooldown based skills that you have mapped to different face buttons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's basically like two types of attacks. There's area of effect attacks where you just pick a circle that it affects, and then the ones that it, like affect a person, it just locks onto the person nearest to your reticle, I believe. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm pleased with the conversation stuff as well. Does that continue being good, Ben?
So this was one thing I noticed different between this game and like Knights of the Old Republic for me, where it's like I don't really have as much interest in the at least not necessarily the conversations, but like the background stories that you have through like finding objects.
Uh-huh.
And so usually I've been skipping through that stuff. Conversations I'll usually we brought this up earlier. Usually I'll listen to a podcast while playing and then just use the subtitle menu during the conversation and just read it and kind of skip along. So I'm not really getting immersed into the culture at all of the game, but that doesn't mean I don't enjoy it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the kind of game where I will fall into a trap of reading every single piece of lore. Mm-hmm. So everything updates your codex, and all of your codex is like single page entries about like this particular herb and its place in the economy of Thedas. It's pretty great.
Yeah, I mean, it's like any BioWare game, right?
Yeah.
Because I would totally do that for Knights of the Republic. I did that with Mass Effect 1, but then I have not done that since.
So. Yeah. But, like, what's amazing to me, and this is just kind of like small touches in video games, small touches that probably required a great amount of effort, each of these, you know, little lore bits in the Codex is actually cited to a piece of work. It's like, oh, chapter 11 of A Treatise on Polishing Quarter Staffs or whatever. And so, like, I read what everything is cited for.
I saw that porn. Treatise on Polishing Quarter Staffs.
We have so many good titles this week. Yeah. So like if you're playing Dragon Age Inquisition, I urge you to check out the codex, at least, you know, skim stuff and see if there's any interesting stories in there, which I assure you they are, but B, pay particular attention to what everything is cited from, because it is like that is constructed from a mindset of rigor that I have to appreciate that somebody came up with all of those.
Yeah.
And C, make sure you keep your quarterstaff shiny.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, how else are you going to get a dance to the mage's ball? Oh, man. Yeah, so I'm excited. I think I'm going to take my... I promised myself I wasn't going to do this. I promised myself I wouldn't cry, but I think I'm going to take my PS4 back home over Christmas and play it there, because I have cleared out that entire week pretty much to not record or edit anything.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
So we'll see if that actually holds up. But
you push out your assignment play even further.
Oh yeah, I've been working like crazy. Like I could tell you at least four games that I've been playing ahead to get get up on, but we haven't announced some of those. So, yeah. Any final thoughts? Not final thoughts because you haven't beaten it yet. But are you feeling momentum carrying you through, Ben?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna stop.
Yeah.
What am I?
Can't stop / won't stop.
I was trying to think of which co-host I should pick out for not finishing games, but
the choice is obvious.
I think that would
be mean, so I wasn't going to do that.
I mean, to be fair, if you said who am I, you, I would have just clapped. he finally stood up for himself.
Give the man a clap.
Yeah.
David, versus give the man the clap.
don't do that.
No, that's terrible.
What happens if you don't keep your quarterstaff polished?
David, how about you? What you been grinding up on?
We haven't gotten to the venereal disease part of Dragon Age Inquisition yet.
Wow.
That would be an odd companion quest. All right. Anyway, sorry.
I got a PS4 yesterday. So it was kind of an adventure. It was supposed to come on Monday, and the tracking said it was delivered, but then they decided not to actually deliver it. So, it was kind of an adventure, but it's now here. I got the deal. I either need to choose between Destiny or Far Cry 4 as the game that came with it.
Ooh.
So I've been playing, messing around with the tutorial of Destiny.
Mm-hmm.
I really like it. I really like its, its style, its graphics, and I'm enjoying the gameplay. There's really, I think it's a really neat game. The problem is, it's becoming pretty obvious it's a game you need to play with other people, and there's no matchmaking. There's no realistic way to actually play it with other people cooperatively. So, that's I know, it's just kind of disappointing.
So it leans heavily on a friends list that, in your instance, is just not there?
Right, exactly. I don't quite understand what the deal is, you know, why there is no functionality for that, because, I mean, that's not, you know, obviously that's something that, Halo's had forever, and that's something that pretty much every MMO has. So I'm not sure why they wouldn't just put it in.
So when you say it's not there, do you just mean there is no way to find people to play with, period? Or is there no way to find a group of people that is picked to give you a better chance of succeeding?
I mean, there is no either, like, looking for group tool or, like, automatic matchmaker whatsoever. Similarly, if you're, when you're out in the world, you know, doing a mission, they kind of dynamically will, occasionally be people, running around. Generally, it's when you're kind of outside the actual dungeon areas, you know, just in the world fighting enemies, there'll be people running around, but there's no way whatsoever to communicate with them.
Mm.
So basically what you'd have to do is you'd either have to go back to, like, the single hub city and try to communicate with people and, you know, figure something out. Maybe that's possible.
You can communicate with people through the power of dance, David.
You can, in fact. The power of dance is strong with this game.
I love bees. That's a Bungie in-joke for you guys. Bees communicate through dance. Bungie, around the time of the launch of Halo 2, did an ARG called I Love Bees. Bungie developed Destiny. Ergo, the thing I said made perfect sense.
All right.
I need a flowchart.
Yeah, so,
you know, if you say I need a flowchart, Dennis is going to make it, right?
Also, would not be a horrible title.
Ergo bees. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, continue, David.
So it seems like a good game. It just seems like they're really pretty dramatically missing the opportunity with, you know, make it really, really hard to actually play.
Yeah.
But no, there's a lot I like about it. I've been messing around with the Hunter class, which I really enjoy. I just unlocked the ability to basically, there's a timer on a cooldown on, but basically to wherever the cooldown's up, your melee attack is replaced with a throwing knife, which does a lot of damage. So it just works well. It's a lot of fun to, like, one of the kind of mid-level, like, tougher enemies to drop its shield and immediately throwing knife it.
Yeah.
Nice.
So.
So how long do you have to make this decision? Can you play a demo of Far Cry 4 to see if that's more
your cup of tea? I do not know if I can play a demo of Far Cry 4. I'm a little bit confused as to what the limitations of the demo for Destiny are, because I've been playing it for a long time.
Huh.
I'm level 32. I don't know how to stop.
What you ought to do, David, and I'm going to volunteer the community for this, somebody out there probably has Far Cry 4, and they can do the game share with you.
Oh, that's true.
Or you could go to a Blockbuster Video and do a two-day rental. See, I occasionally get it in my head that, oh, I'd like to try this game out. Oh, you can't do that anymore, can you?
Oh, man.
Redbox still runs games.
Oh, you're right. Good luck finding...
Do they still have that one service? It was a Gamefly?
Oh, yeah, Gamefly is still around.
Yep.
Yeah, I was about to say Gamefly is dead as fuck, but I'm thinking of GameTap.
What's GameTap?
I don't even know what that is.
GameTap was a subscription... Basically, a subscription Steam, where you paid a certain amount of money per month. And you could play however much of any of the games that were on it. It was actually a pretty on-point service.
Hmm.
Yeah.
See, I thought that was, like, streaming games, though. Was it not?
No, it wasn't streaming. You're thinking of On Live.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. But. Cool. What's your experience with the PlayStation 4? Are you digging it as a consumer product?
Yeah, I really enjoy it. I like the aesthetics of it, which is, I don't know, seems like a weird thing to say, but I mean, it is really, in my opinion, just a really cool looking system.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like the weird, like, inlaid on off light.
Yeah. I was put off by, I plugged it in, and even after reading the manual, I didn't know how to turn it on.
Yes, no, it took me. Yes, this was definitely a thing.
Because there is an on-off button, like a capacitive little touch nub, but it is not readily apparent. Like it's built right into the molding, so it is inlaid itself along that same the same on-off light line.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, after you know where it is, it's totally a better choice, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
I kind of hate the touch on-off button on the PlayStation 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's awful.
Yeah, it's like just real tacky. It feels like a 1980s hi-fi to me. But here's a pro tip. If you tap R3, like if you press in on your right thumbstick while you're doing text entry, the accelerometer, like the gyroscope, lets you kind of like twist your controller to turn it into a crosshair to select whatever letter you want to select.
You can also use the pad in the middle too.
That was good.
You didn't like that?
It was a little bit too finicky for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the feature I actually really like. I think overall the aesthetics of the controller, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, it's just subtly shaped differently. Yeah. You know, the distances between things or something are different, and I like it overall. Mm-hmm. I'm actually really enjoying the light on the back of it.
Yeah.
It's completely corny, but like the main one I've noticed is in Destiny, whenever when you like enter some place that's dark, you know, cave or something, you'll flip on your flashlight and the light on the controller will flip on.
Nice.
And it's completely corny, but it is kind of does add some aesthetics to it that, you know, whatever you're wherever you're sitting, the atmosphere, you know, like the area around you now has kind of this flashlight effect.
I really like that Sony has this controller that has all these kind of gimmicky capabilities, but they haven't pushed any of them, which just means that developers will find cool ways to use it without being under the gun of, oh, we have to make this thing a system seller.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you can definitely tell right now that they're kind of forcing some of the integration into games, but soon there will be, you know, good uses of them, I feel like.
Water will find its level.
But I feel like right now I kind of like some of the just kind of like what I said, just the flashlight thing, just some of the like, yeah, you know, apparently in GTA 5 for the systems, when you're being chased by cops, it does the cop lights, you know, red and blue cop lights. And like,
by apparently you mean I said that last week.
Did you say that?
Yep.
I don't apparently, pay yeah. what you say.
I don't trust your words, Cole.
I say a lot of things. I don't blame you.
But again, that's like a nice little throwaway rather than like, oh, we got to make this a feature.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
So this is more a peculiarity of the way that I hold my controller than anything. But when I'm sitting in my recliner, oftentimes, picture this, when my thumbs are resting on the two sticks, my thumbnails are pointing at my chest. So like
you blind yourself?
Yeah. The light is because that's just like ergonomically where my hands rest when I'm like holding this thing in a comfortable position. So like I just have a field of blue in the lower portion of my vision, which means like I'm constantly trying to point this thing away from my face. I play in a well lit room generally, so it's tough for that to turn into like a real atmospheric effect.
True.
Huh. So the fact that three of us have PlayStation 4s now means that, Dennis, you now have to get an Xbox One and a Wii U. You've been locked out from ever buying a PlayStation 4.
The Sony fanboy is the one person without a PlayStation 4. I have failed.
You got like a kid and shit, though. Like, I can't actually give you any static for it. So
that's almost as good as a PS4.
Kind of. I'm going to tell him you said that when he's older.
All of this is getting recorded onto like golden vinyl.
You're going to have to get him into out of his like mind-jacked PlayStation 6 whatever thing.
Audio entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you like the real world primarily? That's so quaint.
Yeah. So, David, you'll have to let us know which one of those you ultimately go with, either Destiny or Far Cry 4. It would be, I know what choice I would make, but I don't want to taint the results.
I'm an Arsidia. Which one would you go with?
I don't want to taint the results.
All right. So, Ben, didn't you actually own Destiny, correct?
I do.
Does the writing ever get better?
No, it doesn't. It has a really good story, but none of it is put in the game. It's all like on their website and the codex that they have for it. So, yeah, it's just like all the Halo games too, where it's, I don't know. There's like a lot of content, but they don't really transmit it well into the game.
Yeah, the voice acting doesn't bother me nearly as much as like everyone complains about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still pretty bad.
Yeah. Yep.
Dennis, talk about 80 Days.
Yes. It is everything you said it would be. I am amazed. I think I'm going to misquote the number, but I went to like 21 out of 400 cities or something crazy like that. Like, it might not be quite that high, but I feel like I saw so much, but I saw so little of this game in my playthrough of it. The same way you talked about, Cole, like I had these little stories unfold that just were so nice. And it felt like it was rewarding me for being a part of it too.
Yeah.
I played my first time through as kind of a gruff character. And actually like when we weren't around other people, I wound up disagreeing with Fogg a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and not really liking the guy. if we were around other people, I would do what he says because that's my job. And I was dutiful, but just did not have a super good relationship with him. And that played out in some really interesting ways. And it didn't feel like the game was forcing me towards being best buddies with him,
right.
Which was really nice. I had one, a cool story that happened. I was on a a big ship traveling somewhere, so I was going to be on it for a couple days, and tried to strike up a conversation with this girl who was a writer, but she was very defensive about her stuff that she was working on. So I was like, well, screw you, if you're going to be a jerk about me just being politely interested, then I'm not going to be friends with you. Then I met her dad, who was outraged that her daughter was going to be a writer instead of a respectable woman, and wound up defending her to him, even though I didn't really like her, because this guy's a misogynist asshole, wound up pissing him off. He challenged me to a duel. I punched him in the face, and him and his daughter wound up bonding and reconciling over both hating me.
Boy, helper.
And the entire time I could have chosen options to like try to be nice to these people,
right?
But I just, because of the character I wanted to play, was rude to them and not very friendly, and they totally accommodated that and made it like worthwhile.
You're both so wrong that, differently.
Exactly. Like, it was so good. And then another just interesting intersection of real life in the game, I got distracted watching TV and missed my flight. And it was like, it was a crucial flight. Like, I had planned out my route through North America, and was going to San Francisco. I'd bought something that was relatively expensive, but would sell for a lot more in San Francisco.
Yep.
And then missed my flight to San Francisco and wound up having to take the next, just I took the next best route because that flight wasn't leaving again for like a week. And I didn't have that kind of time, but I took a flight to a city that I literally had no leads on where to go from there.
Yep.
Wound up scrounging up just and barely scraping by through South America, but just completely having to improvise selling off everything to buy tickets until I could get to a bank. And it's just like, because of one stupid, I got distracted by something that was on TV in real life. was so perfect.
Yeah.
So, but again, that did not ruin the game. It didn't feel like the game had a path in mind for me that suddenly it couldn't tell a good story because I had deviated from it. Mm-hmm. It just accommodates. Like, this is the ultimate choose your own adventure novel.
Yeah.
It's freaking amazing. So I've started my second playthrough. There's a little bit like, I feel like I'm playing through The Walking Dead again, or I feel like I'm doing any of those things where the first one is always going to be my story. Mm-hmm. I wound up getting there with 7 days, or sorry, not 7 days to go, 3 days to go. Mm-hmm. But I basically, the whole second half after I went through South America, I didn't stop and smell the roses or do anything. I was very focused, which means I missed a lot of cool shit. Uh-huh. So I could go through the exact same route I did before and see stuff I didn't see the first time just by choosing different dialogue options on the same trips, or I can, as I'm doing, go a completely different route, take a different tack. So this time I'm going to play kind of like an explorer. Every time I have a chance to go check out something extra, I'm going to try to, and see how well that gets me through the world and what kind of cool stuff I turn up. So it's great. It's absolutely great.
Yeah. After I missed the days, I got around the world in 81 days as opposed to 80. Like, my next trip, I ran it like I was, like a Dusseldorf train conductor. It's like, we're gonna make it, god damn it. I made it in like 53 days. I was like, well, there's probably some kind of compromise here that I can make.
Well, this is the coolest thing. You talked about how you had this, one little item in the rug that kept on, actually played a significant thread and kept on coming up throughout. Uh-huh. I had an instance where I thought I had lost the game. I thought we were going to die underwater, and I don't know if you can
Oh, was this the murder mystery?
No.
Oh, okay. This
had nothing to do with a murder. It was a mutinous crew.
I did that one too.
Okay, yeah, I tried to break up a fight and accidentally shot. No, something important that exploded and plunged us into the ocean.
Oh, that is different than what I did. I committed so many mutinies.
No, I was trying to prevent the mutiny.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it wound up in I'm at the bottom of the ocean. I thought I was going to die. And it actually took the health of it, throughout the game. You've got the health of Phineas Fogg in the bottom right. It took it all the way down to zero.
Oh no!
And so I was just like, okay, I'm reading text until I get to the end, and we're going to die underwater here. And it plays it out like that. And it, too late now. It's spoiler because I told you I finished.
Yeah.
But you're miraculously rescued at the last second. Uh-huh. But that was just I forget where I was going with that. There were so many great things about it. You've got the dialogue where you make amends with Fogg, and I kind of didn't really. I didn't want to be honest in the first place. You got me into this, and I'm not happy about dying on the bottom of the ocean. Oh, no, I know where I was going with it. Okay, so there was that. That was cool, and it accommodated that. But then also, I played the rest of the game like I was scared of water.
Oh.
It's like there were opportunities I had to go diving in the coral reefs and stuff like that, and it was just every time there was an opportunity to be like, yeah, because of what happened, I'm just not into this. And too again, soon. that too soon, exactly. And it like that led to other conversations, and that legitimately, it accommodated that even. So, just crazy. Just the amount of text that's in this game, and the amount of different ways you can go with it.
Just stopping and thinking of like the possibility branch chart of this game.
Oh my god,
it's staggering. Like, this is a masterwork. I can't recommend it highly enough.
Yeah.
Where can you get it?
It is now on iOS and Android. Like, both.
How much is it?
Like, maybe
$5.
Too little.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, too little is what it is. Yeah. Cool.
Game of the at least 80 days.
Yeah, game of the past 80 days and maybe the next. It really is. Like, it is a tremendously pleasant surprise, honestly. Like, I heard it maybe brought up on a couple of podcasts, and I was like, oh, here's this. But until I really dove into it and appreciated the scope, it was, kind of escaping me. But yeah, I'm going to have to make this one like a must play if you have like a mobile, a way to play it.
Hell yeah. I second that.
I'm very happy you like it. I got your text message, and I was like, oh, he's probably not going to be sleeping for a minute.
Yeah, no, I think I sent that to you around 9, and it was like 1:30, and I'm like, I could stop, but I think that was right around the time I was in the middle of that exchange on the ship with the two people who hated me. So
yeah.
It was just so good.
Got to see that, you know.
Got to see that one through.
Yeah, got to see it through. Yeah. Awesome. Well, that was a good crop of games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Split it up. That was episode number 87 of The Level. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And thank you to my kind co-hosts for co-hosting.
Coasting.
Really, really. I mean, I would have been more generous, but okay. Oh, man. So 2014 has been a great year for the show. This is the last episode, not that we're going to record in this year, but that we're going to air this year. So I would say to you guys, thanks so much for making this possible. And thanks to the listeners for listening and making this possible. Additionally, I would say to everybody within the sound of my voice, have a safe and happy holiday, whatever you choose to celebrate. Make sure that you stop and take a moment and appreciate those around you, and make sure that you live to see, you know, warmer weather. Let's just say that. Let's just say that it does get better.
It seems rather dark.
Well, no, the safety is important to me, especially around this time of the year. Yeah. So, you guys know the usual admin stuff. You have the Facebook page where you can see those discussion prompts. You also have iTunes ratings and reviews, which are always appreciated if you get a chance to take it there. If you have any last minute, gifts that you want to get, or if you're going to be spending any Amazon gift cards, there's always duckfeed.tv/tipjar. We really appreciate you using those Amazon links for your region. But otherwise, just, you know, thanks for sticking around, and we hope that you stick around for next year as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Is there anything I'm missing?
I don't think so. I look forward to seeing you guys all in person.
Yeah.
Not that I can't do that anytime with two of you, but Ben, I'm looking forward to having you back and having the conglomerate level crew all together in one place.
Yes.
There's nothing like a podcast in the same room.
Yeah.
This is true. We were discussing this off mic, but Ben is returning to the Cincinnati area for the holidays. And so we're going to try and work that out to where the next episode we record it in person. So you're going to hear that distinctive style, sound, and
of
energy.
No overtalk.
there's you may not believe it, but there's more overtalk when you're in person. It just feels more natural.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh,
so you can't edit this out in person. It's harder.
Yeah, it is, because everybody's mic bleeds over. If I was a more competent engineer, that wouldn't be the case. But you guys are stuck with me. So
I know that voice. It's they sit in soundproof booths next to each other with little cubicle windows. I don't think I want a podcast like that. So.
Yeah. All right, guys. Merry Christmas and whatever you choose to celebrate. It's all cool. We love you guys. I've been Cole Ross at Cole Ross on Twitter.
I've been Dennis Furia at D Furia on Twitter. And I love you guys too, both the hosts on the show and the listeners.
Aww. Hmm.
David?
I'm David.
He was David so
Money
affected
Smith
by that, Dennis.
MoneySmith777 on Twitter.
Cool.
I'm Ben Merkel at Merkelizer on Twitter.
Yeah, and we have so many good titles. I'm going to ask you to stick around after the break to hear us talk about them.
Future toady discussion.
Hey, every new title we pick is now a potential candidate for toady.
No, this is one of the lost toadies.
We may include it. A year from now, if we remember to just include the ones that weren't included, you know, there's no saying we will. But that's weird. Every game we talked about has D in the title. Dragon Age, Destiny, 80 Days.
Huh.
All right.
It's a conspiracy.
There are 23 games we talked about. No. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to go down. We got five. We got five potential ones that I kept track of. All right. ASDF, ASDF.
It's a pretty good one.
Inadequate for Freebird. Lemur David. You're a podcaster, Luke. A treatise on polishing quarterstaffs.
I think it's got to be that last one.
I'm impartial. I like all of them. That's why I wrote them down.
I would post vote either for Lemur or Luke, but
okay.
I'll vote for ASDF, ASDF, so that there's no clear winner.
Yeah. Okay.
But I do like that one. Yeah.
Cool.
You're a podcaster, Luke, only works if you do it with the Hagrid accent, which you can't do in text. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I might disqualify that one just because it doesn't so much work in text. Yeah. So the only one that we've ruled out is inadequate for Freebird. So you guys have left it to me to decide which one I want to put into the text box.
Inadequate for Freebird was an inadequate title.
All around. And you are listening to The Level. It's a podcast about... Whoa, I just messed that up. I'm just gonna retake that line.
Podcast.
Podcast. I also said a podcast about video games.
Yeah.